I'm Andrew Walsh, a.k.a. Bat Phantom, from the Operation Pug Podcast, proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Let's get ready to rumble! On episode number 133 of Better Podcasting, we channel our inner librarian and discuss cataloging your content.
In this week's Better Podcasting download, we hit the P trifecta with Podient, Plex, and Podcast, Apple.
In this week's Better Pod Back, we get another email that floors us both.
Finally, I'll give you an update on my latest podcast unexpected repair. Lauren, ding, 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 round one.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome back to another episode of Better Podcasting. This is episode 133. I am Stephen John Drew. With me, of course, is Stargate Pioneer.
Fresh back from the Memorial Day vacation, a little somber, just a little in different places that I didn't adequately cover up when it was 100 degrees at the lake this week.
Wow, that's insanity. It was not 100 degrees here, but it was like 100 below. No, it wasn't actually.
Well, I mean, for you, are we talking 100 degrees Fahrenheit or Celsius? Because I'm talking Fahrenheit.
I'm talking Stephen language because I don't talk proper English.
My goodness, you have your own little language that you have between you and your mother.
Absolutely. Yes, today we're going to talk about some latest happenings in the world of podcasting when we get to our Better Podcasting download, of course. But before we get there, we have a couple of things we want to hit on, which includes a How I Save My Podcast story as well. We're going to talk today about lists. Oh, that's going to be fun. SP, this How I Save My Podcast story, it's more of a How I Could Have Saved My Podcast story. And it sounds a little familiar, right?
It is. I actually unearthed yet another post on Reddit about Zencastr. Yes, this post was titled A Zencastr Horror Story. And the post says, I run a new small podcast that features 5 people in remote locations with varying levels of computer experience. So when I heard about Zencastr, it seemed like the perfect solution to my problem. It syncs remote guests together, records them for you in Wave, no less, with a custom VoIP service that cancels out echoing, and it even has an integrated post-processing suite to even out your guests' volume and cut down on noise if you like. In theory, the disclaimer should read, because in practice, it was a nightmare. Everyone in our group has very stable connections, yet for some reason, someone or two would drop once or twice a session or randomly be unable to hear someone else and have to refresh. Annoying, but not a huge problem, until you realize that refreshing or rejoining creates a new track that isn't time-stamped appropriately. So if you try to post-processing it through Zencastr, it'll append the later clip of your guest to the beginning and just ruin the whole process. And you can run it in the background of another VoIP service if you like, but then you lose that echo cancellation. Well, that doesn't happen every session, right? Otherwise, the track should be in sync. Again, only in theory. There's no audio drift correction that I can detect, so trying to juggle 5 different tracks, each with their own degree of drift, is a nightmare, especially in a longer form podcast like the one we run. Even on the single episode that we did go without dropping someone, drift made its site's post-processing product completely unusable. But hey, at least the audio quality is good, right? Right? Somehow, even they mess this up because the recording I got from Zencastr has distortions, clicks, and drops that don't exist in the backup recordings that I had running through Audacity. This crops up infrequently, but in a narrative podcast, nothing ruins a moment like your voice dropping every other syllable. And with all of these problems together, maybe I'm just the edge case. Maybe I'm just unlucky. And if it works for you, I'm glad. But from my experience, I can't believe they're charging for this service when all it's done is mar the few episodes I was dumb enough to trust them with. Maybe it works better for shorter recordings with different people, but in my situation, it was nothing but a waste of money. Steven, this definitely sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I think we're going to start dropping the Zencaster stories here from the How I Saved My Podcast story. But I do have to say that at this point, I've seen so many problems with Zencaster that I think it's time for the people start voting with their dollar. I think you should try to find another service. Lots of people have had experience with things, a good experience with things like Zoom. Some people have just gone back to Skype and double ended. I think at this point here, Zencaster stories are quickly becoming more of the norm of horror. So I would encourage people to vote with their dollar if they're having any issues. That would be my encouragement. Of course, you know, that's just my opinion. You know, people can do what they want. They can make their own decisions. But stuff like that, that's what I do, is I vote with my dollar.
Exactly. There's another service out there that is called Cast, and the URL is TRYCA.ST. So TryCast with the dot in between the CA and the ST. That could be one as well. But I don't know if any of those other services are better. These are just the stories that have been coming to light in Reddit posts. So this is not anything I'm making it up. This was a real post made on Reddit. And yeah, it's, I think you're at a point where we have to advise people to go somewhere else. And then let us know how that is going too, because if like Cast or Zoom doesn't work for you, then let us know. The things that he says, the capabilities that Zencaster has, are very appealable. So you can post-process everything together if it's all lined up, and you can record it in Wave and get good sound quality, but that apparently isn't working. So I don't know. And if Skype, by the way, Microsoft Skype apparently is looking at Zencaster as a model for what they want to do for their professional thing that they're going to give out for everybody, I think that they need to look at these quirks before they implement anything. Because if they implement something, if they actually, for instance, buy out Zencaster and apply it to Skype, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be angry. So I don't know. Just stay tuned. We'll see. But that is how I could have saved your podcast story for this time. Get a digital portable recorder.
No, I'm jumping off of that ship. How I could have saved my podcaster is not using Zencaster and go on to something else. That's how I could have saved my podcast with that one.
Okay. Well, either way.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about podcasting history. Here we go. Let's be honest. You podcast a lot. Let's be even more honest. You probably don't even remember what you ate for dinner last night. I don't remember. I it's mostly because I'm drunk every night after podcasting with SP, but it's a different story.
All that Canadian beer, definitely. So if you are like Steven and you're blacking out every night, then how do you remember your podcast history? You know, the answer is you might not. And actually, that's totally okay. And here's a little fun fact. We actually have a shared document that we update 2 to 3 times a year where we outline our count of the just different amounts of podcast episodes that we've done, just so we can keep track of our experience. And an even funnier fact, funnier, is that we have a document that we keep track of the history of this show, A Better Podcasting, of the different topics that we cover for each episode. So that brings us to today's topic, keeping track of your podcast history. Now, we're going to do some lessons that you might want to do if you're going to look into tracking your history, and why you may want to track your history and why you may not want to track your history.
Let's start off with going over some types of tracking and different ways that you may track your podcasting endeavors. The two main ones that we're going to talk about today are what we're going to call podcasting resumes and podcasting history. So, or podcast history, I should say. Podcasting resumes are generally more of a raw history of your podcasting. These are things that may be applicable to your individual podcast experience. For example, you might have a list that outlines the name of a podcast episode that you've been on. It might outline what that show was. It might give a count, like how many different episodes you did for that show. It might have things like dates of the podcast or URLs to the podcast. URLs are website address for those of you not familiar with the term URL. And also, you might want to keep track of whether or not you are a guest host or a regular host on those appearances. Podcast episode history is a little bit different, though.
It's generally more of a detailed history of your individual podcast. So these are things that may be on your podcast history, such as the title of your show, points of discussion, major points of discussion, notable segments for the episode, the release date of the episode, the running length of the episode. You might actually want to record the recording date of the podcast as well. The different URLs that it's been posted to, like the actual post and the where you can find it. That's the URLs that Stephen mentioned. It is the websites. Maybe if you've had guests on the show or different hosts, like if you cycle hosts in and out, you might want to keep track of that. And then any other information that helps provide a snapshot of what happened in the episode. For example, Principal Stephen's favorite is attendance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He totally has an attendance record for Gonna Geek, and that is a big deal between him and Chris really right now on who's been on the more episodes. And Stephen, remind me, so Gonna Geek, it's your network, it's your show. Who's been the individual host that has appeared on Gonna Geek the most?
Yeah, you're right. I am like a principal. I have a big paddle. I demand people attend. Okay, Chris has been on the GunnaGeek.com show a little bit more than me. But yes, this is something that we do over there. And actually, to a degree, we do on this show as well, but in a little bit different state. Now, when you're making these lists, one of the things that you're going to have to decide on is whether or not this is going to be private or public, because that's going to change a little bit about what you might have on there or how you use this information. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit, but we do like to highlight that this is something that you want to decide probably before you start embarking on said document. Now, ways that you can do this, if it's a private method that you want to do, you could do something like maybe making yourself a Word document or just a simple notepad file. Our favorite is spreadsheets. Spreadsheets are great, whether it's an Excel document or a Google document or a Google spreadsheet. If you're doing like a podcast resume, it might simply be the name of the show, the total episodes, and links to these episodes in a comment box. You might just have a few columns outlining these things. Or if it's more of like a podcast episode history, you're probably going to have a lot more details. Like you might have a column for the topic, you might have a column for the segment, or maybe if you had a specific feedback that you want to keep track of, maybe the length of the episode and so forth. So this is something that you want to make sure that you're cataloging the items that you might need to capture later. Public methods might be a little different approach.
Yeah, perhaps it's just simply providing the access to one of the above. And our host, Amos, of the Undaunted podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network, he has another podcast called Ritual Misery, and he actually allows his listeners to Ritual Misery log into that spreadsheet so they can see everything, including how much money that they've earned and where that money is actually going to. So that is one of the ways that you can make the information public. Now, you could build a website for it. For instance, Emily Prokop on the story behind has a great website page listing all of her appearances that she's ever made outside of her own shows. So that is an example of a website that you can build for it, and that is at thestorybehindpodcast.com. Now, perhaps it's a little less formal, but maybe it's just a place or a playlist that shows all of your previous podcasts. And if you're making a public history, you should really try to capitalize on the SEO, that's search engine optimization, and give enough information that makes it appealing to your audience. So make it so that they can see value in checking out your history or your podcast history, but try not to make it so that they get lost. So make it easily accessible through the browser.
No matter what method you're doing, we encourage you to keep in mind that while you may not have use for it at the moment, It's better to lean a little bit more towards having more information than less, because you never know when you're going to need said information later. So when you are outlining this, if you're on the kind of on the cusp of adding one column, you might want to just go ahead and do that and track that, because again, better to start early on. Now let's talk a little bit about reasons why you might want to do this. Well, now that you've determined a little bit about how you're going to do this, the first point of consideration is that you might want to later use that quick resource for your podcasting resume if you ever need.
For example, let's say that you find yourself being interviewed on other podcasts. You might get asked about your podcasting history, and it's nice to have a quick reference to this information without having to manually do math in your head or panic and scrounge up the history on the fly. So everybody loves the, oh, I can't remember. Oh, I got to figure out which episodes that I've been on or not. And you hear those keyboards banging away during the recording. So don't do that. And another way that you might get asked about this is might be helpful if you guest on a lot of different podcasts and you want to make sure that you're spreading yourself out evenly. Maybe you're guesting too much on one podcast, or maybe you want to have a quick way to see how many times you've guested on one particular show. If you guest on them again, you can say, hey, I've been with you, this is my 12th time or whatever. Or if you're on the podcast roundtable with Ray Ortega and you get to that 10th show, you get a t-shirt for being on the podcast roundtable. So Ray, that's for you there.
You know, another related example on how you might use that as well is like, let's say that you were talking, you'd make a couple appearances on the podcast roundtable and you have a conversation and it brings up something that you talked about on podcast or roundtable. Well, wouldn't it be nice just to have this quick resource that you can quickly pull up and go, okay, it was episode blah, blah, blah that we talked about this. And then it's a lot easier to find that rather than madly trying to search for your name plus podcast or roundtable. So that's another way you might use that.
A little podcasting prep before you go guest. That's always advisable. So you actually might need this information in a more official capacity. For example, if you're job hunting and your podcast experience will benefit you. You might not be a podcasting sort of job, but say it's in media development or communications, being able to distribute the fact that you have experience doing project management, running a podcast, communicating effectively over time. That is the benefit of having that information on a resume, and to be able to bring that information up quickly when you're building a resume, trust me, is always a good thing. And Stephen, you know a little bit about that from recent events too.
Absolutely. Another reason you might find this helpful was that it might be a great way to identify what you want to cover or might want to stay away from within your podcasting. Like, let's say you have a document that outlines specific topics that you've done on your podcast. This can be a very helpful way to quickly see what you've covered and maybe if you've covered something too much. For example, you might take a look at your history on your paint drying podcast and realize that while you've talked about a lot of different ways that you can actually maximize enjoying that paint drying experience, you might not have actually ever talked about what type of paint dries the best. So that might be a very quick way to reference that you need to work in that direction. What? You're not interested?
Steven, you keep up bringing up the paint drying podcast, and I don't think you realize this is a funny fact that I don't think I've told Steven yet. My son works in a paint store.
Sweet. So I'm going to invite him on my paint drying podcast. That sounds awesome.
There you go.
With that said, if there is a new development or you're looking at the same topic in a different way, this could be a great way that you can review the old content before you make that new episode that revisits it. So again, you go into your trusty document and you go, where was that one that I talked about paint drying and the best latex paint for paint drying? And then you can find it easily.
Indeed, you might also use this data when developing yourself for a podcast. For example, if you're developing a new intro, you might want to draw on this data when forming it, such as total number of episode counts, general themes, etc. If you feel like your show is needing to be refined, consulting your history might help you determine what your show is largely, so you can hone in on that. Maybe you're niching down from a broader perspective to a narrower, or vice versa. It'd be nice to know that in your history. maybe it's more in a superficial manner. Let's say you're building a personal website. You could possibly use this podcasting history data to help build a biographical personal site about your podcasting. Heck, you might even be able to use the information to develop your weak points. If you take a look at your history, you can identify what you've had less experience with, and this history will then allow you to go back and listen to those episodes and be critical of yourself and develop more information for future ideas.
I actually did this exercise, by the way. I went back to old Gunna Geek shows, and what I found was that all my weak points were when SP was on. It was really weird.
I'm not surprised. And while we're talking about this, you can also help see your reliability of your regular host to see if they're fully engaged, which, even if you're not having a conversation, can help you prepare for when they inevitably quit. Yeah, we're speaking from experience there. Not Steven and I, but yeah, we both have different hosts that we've had seen be less engaged over time, and we're able to track that and say, well, maybe it's time that we both move our different ways.
Or SP can help identify when he's going to fire me. That's another possibility.
Happens once or twice a year.
Yeah, absolutely. It could also help you if you ever want to take a more business approach to your podcasting. Now, whether that's something like becoming an editor, or maybe it's making a run at a monetized podcasting position, you know, maybe it's something like a podcast consultant, you'll be in better shape to sell yourself if you have access to this information. Now, this might not be in a raw numbers capacity where you're going, hey, look at my resume, look at it. No, it might be more like if you're seeking out a potential client and you know that you have some experience that you can maybe pump your tires a little bit and really help them relate better. You can go into this document and go, oh yes, I did do an episode on that. Let me use this as my example because they'll relate better to it.
One thing that we haven't touched on too much in this podcast is the development of a media kit. So if you're developing a media kit, this information is key to all that. Of course, you want to include different things like statistics, listener base, and that sort of thing. But detailing your podcast history, the number of guests you've had on, the number of hours you podcasted, it could be definitely phenomenal to whoever's reading that media kit on whatever they're deciding to use it for, whether it's advertisement or giving you press credentials to a convention. So this is something that's important, though. Things might change, such as the way you market your podcast or what you post on your site, or maybe podcasting itself might change. So it can be really helpful to have this information, this historical data information that we're talking about, ready to go in case you want to expand on some details later down the road. For example, if you checked out betterpodcasting.com in the last few months, you may have noticed the posts do a better job of providing information on the different components of each episode. And it's a slow project, but Steven's also been working on pulling data from our history to expand the back posts as well. And speaking from experience, if you go back and change anything in your feed after 100 episodes, 150 episodes, it's a long project. It's not something that you're going to kick out in a day, especially if you have detailed notes on issues and topics like we do.
And the last benefit that we want to talk about here is that it might serve as a backup. We've talked about this on the show before, how things change and sometimes companies go away with very, very little or no notice at all. If this we're talking about Blab, by the way. If this happens to your podcast, wouldn't it be nice to know that you have a lot of this data cataloged in a document elsewhere that you can end up pulling if need be? Now, yes, this sounds like a nightmare, but it's better to have it than not have it at all.
You are never going to let me live down the Blab, are you?
Sorry. Why are you blurring up Blab? It's such a sore part in our life.
All right. So we're going to move on. We're going to talk about why you might not want to do this, or what you might want to stay away from while you are cataloging your historical content. So let's start with the obvious: time. Tracking takes time. Even if you're doing it every single time you post, this is still time that you're spending that you could be doing something else with. And let's face it, once you publish an episode, you want to move on to either recreation, starting the next week's show, or promoting the episode that you just published. So time is at a premium, like right after you publish. So is this something you can even fit into your regular routine? We'll also caution you that batch cataloging can be even more of a headache because of the curation of the batching that goes along with it.
Absolutely. You also might not want some of this information public easily. Now, as soon as you make your list public, of course, there's a whole other can of worms that come with that. Remember how a little bit ago we mentioned that we don't always keep our documents up to date? Yeah, the reason why we keep those private is because it would look really bad if we had this list out there that was very, very, very out of date, and we might not necessarily want that reflecting us.
Another reason that you might not want to actually go through with cataloging your history is you might not have value to it. So as a hobbyist, and if you're listening to this show, we cater to the hobby podcaster. As a hobbyist, you might not find that you have any use for this data. So why do it?
Perhaps you also want to just go ahead and leave the past in the past. This is another possibility. If you go and you make a list easily accessible that shows all of your past experience, someone might go over there because they love you, right? We've talked about that before. Your listeners love you. So you love you specifically, unless they're me, and unless you are me, and my listeners do not like me. But if they, you're anybody but me, your listeners like you. So they'll go onto this resume and they'll go, oh, let's listen to the first episode that Steven ever did. Wow, he swears a lot.
Yeah. Also, if you just rather leave things in the past, think of either yours or your kids. If you're a parent or a grandparent, do you keep the kindergarten paintings, the finger paintings that you do? Do you keep those, the ones that you've ever made?
I'm still learning finger painting. So yes, I do.
I kind of figured that. Well, let's take a look at finally, maybe you just don't care about cataloging your history. You know, if you think of non-podcasting life, there are a lot of things people do that they just don't keep track of. So do you keep track of how many hockey games you've played or how many ice dancing shows you've done? Probably not.
I keep track of all of my ice dancing. It's a regular sport of mine.
I think hockey games and curling, I've kept track of all those in my life. And yeah, I've done more of that than podcasting. So still catching up with podcasting here. So it just might be the same as podcasting. You just might not care about it. It's something that's just a hobby. So just move on.
Absolutely. So there you go. That's keeping track of your podcast history. We want to know, what sort of experience do you have with keeping track of your podcast experience? Is this something that you do? Is this something that you want to do? Please get in touch with us through any of our contact methods. You can go ahead and find us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting. You can tweet us at betterpod or send us an email to podcast@betterpodcasting.com. As a reminder, we do have a full video show that is posted at betterpodcasting.com. So if you want to send us a video clip, that's much appreciated, but you can always just send us an email as well. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about those three P's of podcast that we mentioned, and then we'll get to our feedback, and then I'll share my latest downfall in my podcasting setup.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
We actually got very fortunate this week, and we had the trifecta of news hit us. Podient, Apple Podcasts, and Plex servers.
By the way, today, before you send your hate mail, we're aware they do pronounce it Podient. We are aware of that, but we like to say Podient here because that's how we read it, because we're American. That's my combination of American and Canadian together.
Yeah, well, technically, we're both North Americans, so
that's okay, true.
We can go with that. Anyway, Podient sent out an email with the title, "We're phasing out tags." And this is a rather extensive email, but it's interesting, so we're going to go through it. I just wanted to alert you to a change that's coming to Podient in the next few weeks. It's to do with tags, so let me first explain as briefly as possible the thinking behind the original system. Tags existed as a way for you to define the subject matter of an episode. They were meant only to cover the topics discussed in that particular episode, not for the podcast in general. They've been almost entirely ineffective, as it's been difficult to explain what they're for from the dashboard. So we've ended up with lots of tags like podcast and podcasts, which aren't really helpful. Even words like sport or religion aren't that helpful, as there are a lot of podcasts on Podient about those topics. but that might not be relevant to your listeners. Most people assumed they would be useful on the web to help make episodes or podcasts more discoverable. And this is in bold. All they were ever used for was to populate the, quote, you may like, unquote, section of your podcast pages on Podiant. They didn't improve SEO, and they had no impact on your podcast feed. Let me restate that. They didn't improve SEO, and they had no impact on your podcast feed. So it continues unbolded. It was simply about trying to help listeners find other similar content they might enjoy. I've cleaned up the tags database as it's become a bit polluted. So if you find some of your tags missing, especially those that contain non-Latin characters, that's why. Don't spend too much time re-adding them, as we're going to be replacing the tagging system with something better very soon. So what is that better thing? It's all going to be about trying to understand the content of your podcast better. To begin with, we'll look at language, categories, and potentially iTunes keywords, hosts and network info, and guest names to help match up episodes of your other podcasts or other podcasts hosted on Podiant that your listeners might like to check out. If you add links to your show notes via the links list, we might also use this info so listeners can find other podcasts discussing a given news article or person. Further down the road, we'll look at analyzing show notes and transcripts to find matches based on the content of your episodes. We may also be able to give you more control over the episodes that show up in this list. Why? One of the biggest problems I want to tackle with Podiant is podcast discovery. I want to find natural, organic ways for people to discover new shows they might enjoy. I also want to find ways to bring the Podiant family of podcasts closer together and foster collaborations and crossovers and giving you a better sense of shows adjacent to yours based on data that it's harder to manipulate is a great start. And speaking of bringing podcasters together, there are podcasters like you hanging out in our Slack room. So come join us if you haven't already. We've seen some great collaborations between shows as a result, so you never know what may come of it. That'll do it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Lots of love, Mark and the team from Podiant.
I have a question for you, Stargate Pioneer.
Quest.
Do you have any dirt that you can give me? The reason I'm asking is because I've got water here and I'd like to add that to the dirt so that I can throw the mud at the wall and see if it sticks. Because that's sort of the summary that I get from this email is like, that's what they're doing here. Like, it's all buzzwords. Even their big reveal isn't a reveal. This is exactly what we saw with them before. This is why I can't right now recommend them. They just seem like they're scattered and fractured on what the direction of their company is. The podcast discovery thing, that is just such a thing of the past. Like, you know, yes, it is a problem to a degree, but it's not something that you should be marketing in your emails like that, in my opinion. So that's what I got the feeling of Podiant a while back, that they were just sort of throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. And that's what this email stinks of to me.
Let's talk about turnoffs. One of the big turnoffs I have with podcasting is the term discovery, because it's a big field out there. We found out from Apple last year, so it's been a year ago, they said there's 400,000 podcasts in Apple Podcasts or iTunes. That's a lot of shows. How can you possibly maximize discovery in there with 400,000 shows? You can't. I mean, you can search on keywords like he's saying, but even that, I mean, if you start a podcast and you use all those great keywords and then you look for your podcast in Apple Podcasts, odds are your podcast won't show up unless you have a very unique keyword, because there's already dozens of shows that do what you're already doing. So yeah, the discovery thing, just as soon as I read that, my mind almost switched off and I almost didn't read the rest of it. Cool thing is they do have their own Slack room. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check out Slack room, maybe you don't know what Slack is, or maybe you're an Abbott Slack user, you might want to check this out and see if Podiant Slack is for you, because it's always great to talk to other podcasters.
Absolutely. Moving on to our next we're recording this today on Wednesday, May 30th. You can always watch us live on Wednesdays, assuming that we do record things in time and in the proper order and not pre-recorded. You can find us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern at geeks.live. This came out yesterday in an email from Podcast, Apple. Okay, so that's our pee joke there. But it was from Apple Podcasts. And there was a bit of information in this podcast email that comes out. Apple's been doing this occasionally here and there, been emailing some things out. And ultimately, it came down to two main things, was podcast analytics, a reminder, as well as best practices for discoverability, followed by a brief note about switching to a secure RSS feed. So we'll just go ahead and read this one out because it's pretty good as well. It said, Podcast Analytics, which launched in beta December 14th, is a data visualization tool that gives you insight into how users are listening to your show and episodes on Apple Podcasts. You can sign in to Podcast Analytics Beta to understand listener engagement and distribution to compare the performance of your episodes and shows over time and more. For more information, see Podcast Analytics Help and watch Podcast Analytics Basics video overview. We'll go ahead and link those in the show notes so you can go ahead and see that. Then it continues to go on a little bit about how exactly the podcast analytics data is there and what the requirements are. So we'll leave that alone. The other part that they put in there on the heels of that was best practices for discoverability and user experience, to which they said podcast providers can improve the discoverability and user experience of their shows in Apple Podcasts by implementing the following best practices. Deliver clear, concise titles. Number and recommend episodes. And even pin a trailer to the top of the feed. Allow new subscribers to receive the full current season in their library. And allow users to pick up listening where they left off. And then they go on and they say, you can view an example of a well-formed RSS feed that implements our best practices here, which again links to something that we'll go ahead and put in the notes at betterpodcasting.com/133. And then at the very end, they put this little piece in there that have people talking, which says, we strongly encourage you to use a secure podcast feed with an SSL certificate. In the future, a secure feed will be required in order to access podcast analytics and submit podcasts in Podcast Connect. Most major hosting services offer secure RSS feeds and can help you migrate your feed if the one you're currently using does not have an SSL certificate. So it's very interesting because they are now pushing the SSL, which if you're not familiar with that, you know how sometimes you type in http://www.betterpodcasting.com and then you see that that redirects to HTTPS and it's got the little padlock. Well, yes, that is what that secure is it's that secure communication. And a lot of the web is making a push towards getting the internet secure for a lot of really good reasons. Now, Apple is getting on board with this. Now, why this is interesting is because only a couple of years ago, Apple was notorious for having problems with certain HTTPS, certain SSL RSS feeds. If you didn't meet their exact requirement, it caused all sorts of problems with your RSS feed. And one of the easiest ways to do this, if you have a web host, is to use what's called Let's Encrypt, which is a free encryption service that is found in all sorts of cPanels on all sorts of web hosts. And so that was not accepted by Apple, but last year, I think it was. I think it was December 2016. It quietly got accepted by Apple. So a lot of people, if you have currently unencrypted, so HTTP, so non-SSL RSS feeds, and you probably want to be thinking about making that migration over.
So we have two listeners of Better Podcasting that they had let their SSL certificate expire, and I could not download their newest episodes through iTunes because of that. So I won't call them out, and I've actually talked to both of them, and both of them have allegedly, I think one did and one's still having issues. This is an issue which will prevent your podcast from actually being downloaded through iTunes. I don't know about Apple Podcasts, the app, but I know through iTunes, unless you have an active SSL certificate, and if your feed includes an HTTPS in it, then you're going to need a valid SSL certificate. And this is largely for people that have their own websites and run their own feed through their websites, because most of the actual providers do have active SSL certificates on there, like Libsyn and Podbean. You're good. Don't worry about this. But if you're running your own website, you have to make sure your SSL certificate is up to par.
I'm very happy about this, because when all of this problems came out a while back about Apple having problems with certain HTTPS, certain SSL, I had to implement code to make sure that the Gonna Geek Show RSS feed was not pulling HTTPS. And so I'm excited to get rid of that code. One thing that I'm curious about that I don't know enough about the inner workings is, if you've ever gone to a secure website, like if you go to something that is secure HTTPS and you try to click a link that ends up taking you out or downloading or embedding something that is insecure, I've seen it where it comes up with a warning. So does that mean that Apple is also going to follow suit, where like if your RSS feed is secure, but your individual media files are linking to HTTP instead of the SSL version, is that going to be a problem? I'm curious, because I know a lot of browsers have problems, so it'll be interesting to see how Apple handles this. Finally, in our Better Podcasting download, this one just came out today, which is Plex. Tell me about Plex, SB.
First, I want to tell you about how I heard about it, because I had no less than 5 listeners of Better Podcasting approach me with different. Some gave me the link. Some gave me their copy of the email that came through. I personally do not use a Plex server. I've been thinking about setting one up, but I haven't used one yet. And this is exciting for everybody that has used Plex servers or has a Plex servers. And how do I know that? Because literally within 15 minutes of this information coming out, I had 5 different people say, "Ooh, did you see the news about Plex?" So first of all, thank you to everybody that gave me the information about Plex. And then second of all, we're going to talk a little bit about it, given our experience here. So the actual email blast went out and said, "We're thrilled to announce that one of our most requested features is now available on Plex. Podcasts! With rich metadata and tons of features like on deck, personalized recommendations, variable speed playback, a customizable home screen, offline mode coming soon, and so much more. Now you can enjoy a robust podcast listening experience on Plex, available in beta on Android, iOS, Roku, and web. No Plex media server required. Best of all, the podcast feature is free for all users." Then it says, "Tell me more," with a link, which I then clicked. And this is just way too much to read for the remainder of the show, so we're not going to go into it. It goes into rich search and discovery, personal podcasts, enhanced players. So there's a lot of data actually on their website, with a lot of great pictures depicting the different modes and how you can use this. So I think this is an all-in for Plex, saying, "We want to be part of the podcasting community. We see podcasts as the future." And they talk not only about that, but merging it with your other media. Say you have some Game of Thrones episodes on your Plex server. It will also recommend different Game of Thrones podcasts for you as well. So it's a combination of media storage that's available on Plex. And if you haven't checked this out, definitely go to their link and check out what's going on. If you have a Plex server and you listen to podcasts, maybe this is for you. And if you don't currently have a Plex server, maybe this is for you as well. We've been scurrying behind the scenes since we found this out, and we've noted some idiosyncrasies for now.
Putting it mildly. Be honest.
Yeah, not all shows are in there. For some miracle, Better Podcasting happens to be on the Plexer. So thank you, Plex, for putting Better Podcasting on there. But not all shows are there. Like Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not there. Starling Tribune is not there. I don't think Gonna Geek is on there. So some shows are, some shows aren't. We're not sure what the delineation was to begin with.
And I'm just going to throw it out there that I searched for Todd Cochran's couple of shows, New Media Show, as well as Geek News Central, and neither of those are in there. So there's really no rhyme or reason.
Both those shows have mega downloads, basically. So they were good barometers. But yeah, so it's an awesome capability. And I know a lot of people were actually asking for it, because Plex wouldn't have put in the time to develop it. It was there. I think the way that they're pulling the shows is a little suspect. So we don't know if they're pulling it from Spotify. We don't know if they're pulling it from iTunes and the API. If they were, they would get all these shows in there to begin with. So if your show isn't there, by the way, there is no way to put it in. We uncovered information that said, hey, this is in beta and we are looking at different ways to add more shows later. So there's no actual site that you can click, no submit form, nothing. So if your podcast happens to be on there, congratulations. If it's not, you're out of luck until they open it up to others, or maybe just pull the whole iTunes API. I don't know.
Yeah. Just for clarification, by the way, this does work without a Plex server. You just got to have the Plex app. So you can see that there. I've barely had a chance to experiment with it. I like the interface, but I will say that this is just like the Google search feature of Android, not the Google Music podcasting, the Google search version where it streams. So there's no offline capability yet within Plex. So that is something you need to be aware of, because the last thing you want to do is burn through your data. They do say they're working on that for a future version. I like the interface, but it leaves a lot to be desired. Like show information, episode information isn't fully working in some places. And again, that directory. So we'll see how this works. I guess if it's in beta, it will only go up from here. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, so we'll see. So that was the interesting trifecta of P's for the podcasting download this week. Podient, Apple Podcasts, and Plex. And we're looking forward to another trifecta next week.
Partially delivered by SP. We got a tweet from Jonathan Bloom on Twitter, and he said, just wanted to quickly echo back the save early and often. I once relied on Adobe Audition's autosave functionality. Needless to say, I lost at least 1 to 2 hours of work. Sent me back an already tight deadline. I now save as often as I can. No program is crash proof. And this is in relation to how we talked about ways to have better software help your experience and save your podcast. And SP mentioned that he has had autosave help him before. I've also had autosave help me before. I've also had autosave not help me and just not been there, or been a very old version, older than the version that I actually had saved. So absolutely, save often. Control S, my friend. Control S, your best friend.
Indeed. We also got a tweet today from the Simple Theology podcast, and you can find that on Twitter at Simple Theology. Said, at Better Pod, our mission is to connect Christian theology to everyday life. Enjoyed the most recent episode. Thanks for the great content. Your show has been a great benefit to us. And that, again, is talking about last episode where we were talking about your podcast mission. So thank you guys. Really appreciate the shout out and stating what your mission is. By the way, if you're listening to this and you have a mission for your podcast, or you created recently a mission for your podcast, go ahead and let us know at all the ways to contact us on Twitter. It's at Better Pod. On Facebook, you can get a hold of Steven at Better Podcasting, and you can always email us at podcast@betterpodcasting.com.
We also got a bit of a lengthy email that we'll go ahead and read out here because it really warmed our hearts. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Resident Reader, Stargate Pioneer. That's right. That's what he's deemed as now, Resident Reader, to read said episode or said email.
So this is the email, by the way, was sent to Steven. It wasn't sent to both of us. So just as a note here, we didn't have much of an idea on where to start, at least not without you and SP. We knew we wanted to give a platform to our community beyond that of which social media alone could provide. I, Megan, am a bit of a podcast junkie, consuming endless hours of them as I roll down the road in an 18-wheeler. So at least I had decided what was good, interesting, and seemed well put together. I searched on Stitcher, my go-to app, and after rifling through a few podcasts, I stumbled onto your laps, where you two molded our podcast beginnings one episode at a time. At 1.25 to 1.5 speed. That would be interesting listening to Steven at 1.5 speed, indeed. This, by the way, makes you, Steven, seeing even more high energy than SP gives you credit for, giving as much entertainment as knowledge. I roped in my co-host, Marlene, ordered two Audio-Technica AT2005s, a Zoom H6, and a couple other things, and away we went. Lined up our Let's Grow Lake County name on everything I could think of. URL, Libsyn, social media, Patreon, etc. Two recording sessions, a day and a half of editing, learning Audacity and Libsyn, still feeling like I don't know enough about either. We have our intro and first full episodes, and we are on Stitcher. I can't begin to tell you how much you've helped. I power listened up to episode 23, skipped ahead to the most recent just in case I was missing out in a contest, and then went back to filling my ears and brain, skipping around now until I get them all. According to Libsyn, we currently have had 46 downloads, and that's just in 3 days. It's so exciting and fun. We hope to become a source for news in our litter corner of Northern Michigan with interviews, a community calendar, and a little commentary for local festivals and events. We are underserved by traditional media and hope that podcasting will help our county and our communities grow. Thank you again for all you're doing. Your hobby has become our volunteer work, serving our local area. You guys are awesome.
And you can check them out at letsgrowlakecounty.com.
Indeed. So I went ahead and I listened to their podcast. And ladies, this is exactly the podcast that I eventually want to do for my lake home as well. I've been thinking about this idea for a couple of years, and my hat is off to you because I love what you're doing. I love the way that you're doing it. You're talking about the community involvement, the volunteer work, as well as just what's going on in your area. And it's a great way to get news out from your area. Now, I think what you'll find is that people will start listening from all over the world about your little corner of the world. Maybe people that have moved away, or maybe people that have vacation homes there, or maybe people that just like the lake, the Northern Lake life. So you ladies rock, and thank you very much. And this email, by the way, definitely floored both of us. I mean, when I read it, I was like, oh, wow, that is great that we helped you do this. This is honest. And hats are on you guys. Hats are off for you guys. You guys did the hard work. You guys made this happen. Congratulations. And I'm not going to claim any responsibility whatsoever.
Yeah, I got to say, this email was really awesome, really neat. It really warmed our hearts. And thank you so much for sending it. We really appreciate you reaching out. Also, just for those of you who, because apparently listening to me on 1.5 times is a thing, Emily Prokop in our chat says that she listens to me at 1.5 time instead of workout music. So for all of you listening to me at 1.5 times, I gotta say, this email really warmed our hearts. It made me very happy. And I think that this was a real highlight in our week.
Have fun pitch correcting that.
But seriously, thanks. And we said it before, we do this as a hobby, and these sort of emails are really, they keep us going. And one of the reasons we like to share emails on here is because we find them so amazing. They're so rewarding to us. And we like to bring this up so that if you are listening to a podcast that you like, hopefully it encourages you to send them an email. I've made the plea before and here before to send Gunna Geek Network members an email. I'm making the plea now for you to send this week. Just pick one podcast that you listen to that you like and let them know how much you like it. So that's my plea.
Indeed, I do that every week.
So let's go ahead and talk briefly about my latest podcast disaster. Okay, maybe it wasn't really a disaster. All right, here's a hint of the latest podcast disaster. That's right, that's a drill if you're not watching the video side of things. Those of you who have not watched the video side of our show might not be familiar that Stargate Pioneer and I have a full visual experience beyond ourselves, right? You know, like, we're enough of a visual experience, but we like to enhance that with other items on our backdrops. Like, SP has a little backdrop. He's got a little Star Wars thing on his seat. I have an illuminated backdrop that lights up. And part of this is, it's basically cubes with acrylic style panels in it. And then it's backlit. Well, the other day, I found myself working on moving my backdrop over, to which I suddenly realized, this seems a little loose. Wait, why is this twisting? And I quickly realized that my backdrop was leaning and had been leaning for a little bit. That's right. In one of our previous Gonna Geek episodes, I happened to notice while I was looking at old video of myself, because that's what I do, that there was a gap on the one side of my backdrop because the backdrop was leaning and thus it was misaligned. So I had to repair said backdrop, which was not a big deal. I had to go get some screws, get some brackets, get some bracing, had to do a whole bunch of that, and then also add some Gorilla Tape on there. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up was not to comment so much about the repair process itself, but was to bring up how, when you podcast, you don't necessarily know when or what is going to come up. This backdrop's been great for me. It's on wheels. I push it off, you know, a couple times a week, bring it back. I had no sign that it was about to essentially go on me, and then it just happened. So it's a good example on how an unexpected repair came my way. It also is a good reminder that I've had it for a while, and maybe I should think about whether I want to have it for a while longer.
And I think we've talked about it recently. If we haven't, I've had to buy a new podcasting laptop and had a whole fun dealing with the new M.2 drives in creating a new SSD boot drive on it. So that came out of nowhere as well. The laptop was about 3 years old. And for me, that is understandable in podcasting. If you're actually using the equipment in 3 years for computer components, I think we talked about it before in the podcast budget stuff way back in the early parts of the show. That's about the time. So did I want to spend money on a new laptop? No. But did I expect it eventually? Yes. So that's just thoughts as you go forward to keep that reserve money in your accounts for something to happen someday, or just be prepared to downgrade your capability until you can actually replace it, one of the two. So indeed, things like that happened.
Now, before we wrap up this show, congratulations are in order, right, SB?
Indeed. So I want to say congratulations. Now, not on Facebook, so actually Stephen had to forward the information to me, but somebody posted on Facebook that Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting and the Power of Podcasting Network, he has been selected for the Academy of Podcasters Hall of Fame. And I got to say, this is probably about 2 or 3 years too late. Mm-hmm. I think you should have been earlier, sir. This is a great honor. And you have been in the podcasting space since 2005. This was a long time coming. Congratulations on making the Academy of Podcasters Hall of Fame, which I believe the induction will be at Podcast Movement in 2018, which Emily is actually speaking at. So you can catch Emily speaking and Dave's induction at the Academy of Podcasters Hall of Fame at Podcast Movement in Philadelphia this year.
Congratulations, Dave. Like SB said, definitely, definitely overdue. As we mentioned earlier in the show, we do stream this live on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific at www.geeks.live. Thanks to everybody who came by the live chat today. We had quite an eventful conversation, including Johnny Pennington, who sent us an email that said that he noticed that SP and I were the dark navy blue twins. We had Bangs Naughty Bits say that Reddit/podcasting hit 12,000 subs last week, which was only 100 days after hitting 10,000. We also had Emily Prokop say, new drinking game, podcast discovery. I'll be hydrated in no time.
Or drunk,
that too. And Seth summarized the episode nicely by saying, when my website is insecure, I just give it a good pep talk and say, you can do it. So there you go.
You can do it. Indeed. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us in the live chat.
So for episode number 133 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew. I've got my drill. If I had my sledgehammer, I might have had a new backdrop.
I'm SP, reminding you to wear sunscreen when you're out in the sun this summer.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.